closer, my child, and I shall tell you a tale. A tale of glory, of passion, and strife.
For the Kalimdor Doomhammer!
Love, hate, and war.
For Kaz,
for the Great Mother.
A tale of centuries past. A tale that can only be told by the Lore Keepers.
And hello, and welcome to yet another edition of the Lore Keepers. I'm Strixus.
And I'm Kay.
Indeed, who I was afraid was not going to make the first part of the show, but he's here! So we're all excited and happy. So, welcome to another week, another show. Sorry for the late start. Kay appeared miraculously out of the blue, so I wanted to give him time to get on and get settled in. And this week we're going to be talking about artifacts and important objects in Azerothian history, if you couldn't tell from the pre-show. Those of you who are listening to this on the podcast, sorry. So, anyway, yep, talking about artifacts and important objects, but before we get into that, nose post time! You know, I really shouldn't, like, introduce that like a superhero, should I?
No, it's new.
Anyway, so, in case you're living under a rock or somewhere in Canada, the Burning Crusade release date has been pushed back to January, so yeah. This is good news and bad news. Bad news in that, well, we're not going to be playing the Burning Crusade by the end of next month. Good news in that it'll hopefully give them time to actually finish all of the content that they wanted to include in it. Which I know for a pretty good fact that it's not done. So yeah. I'm actually rather glad that they're pushing it back. Namely because if the date that I've heard is correct, it's right after my birthday. I get a nice happy birthday present. Isn't that right, Kay?
Well, I'm not buying it. I have no money.
Well, yeah, I know.
Like,
I'm probably gonna buy it for myself. I know, how pathetic is that? Oh, next up on our list of news things. Actually, no, I want to take a moment. I want to say that all you people in the forums who are griping, OMG, they pushed it back, wah. Yeah. Remember how upset you were when various aspects of content weren't finished at release? Or every time a new dungeon comes out, why wasn't this fixed before it was released? Yeah. Yeah, okay. This is the price you pay for having completed content. Sigh. And Blizzard, unlike Sony, will actually finish their content before they release it. Sometimes. If you want to know just how bad it can be, first content pack for EverQuest 2 had quests to kill mobs that didn't exist. Yeah. So continuing on, we have the World of Warcraft card game is now available, which is very cool. Looking forward to getting my little suckery tentacles on those. Yet another collectible card game to eat my money and time! Woohoo! Sigh, wish I wasn't so addicted to them. Sigh. And they also get some really nice in-game vanity items. Like the little hippogriff pet that's so bloody cute. And the turtle mount! Squee. Yeah.
I've heard conflicting reports about the turtle mount.
Oh, really? Like what?
Some people say that you can use it from level 1, and it's just an aesthetic thing, and it doesn't provide a speed boost. Other people say that it's just the speed of a regular mount, which would therefore defeat the point of being able to use it level 1. I really don't know.
From what I've heard from Blues, it's been, this is a non-speed boost used from level 1 mount. This is purely vanity. While you can apply the speed boost items to it, like EG spurs, riding gloves, etc., it doesn't give you any additional speed boost from standard running speed. So, yay. Oh, next up. Wild guide updates. Raid tips. Yeah, you know, if you need raid tips, you're not running with the right guild. Maybe I'm a little too cynical. Am I too cynical? I don't know.
Yes.
Well, I meant about this one in particular, not, you know, general cynicism.
You're cynical about raiding.
Not really. I'm rather proud of my guild, other than the fact that, you know, the rank and file can't get it through their heads that shamans aren't priests. And in this week's informative moment of what shamans don't have, we do not have a magic cleansing totem. Sigh.
Oh, snap!
Anyway, moving on. The battle groups have finally been given better designators than numbers.
I like the numbers.
Names are easy to remember for most people. I'm actually rather happy with these. They're quite nice and not easily confused with server names.
Pshaw. Numbers are easy. Old server is in Battle Group 11. Current server is in Battle Group 1. The end.
Yeah.
Now I gotta remember, I'm in insert some bizarre kind of elementally type movement name here.
Well, I'm in Nightfall. And also in Cyclone. That doesn't seem to really pose any difficulty to remember. Oh, I didn't notice the two at the bottom here down here. Cool. Okay. But yeah, I mean, eh. I like them. Kay doesn't.
Numbers were easier.
Crazy Canadians. And now for the part that everyone's interested in. Various pre-Burning Crusade patch information. Kay, since you compiled all of this, do you want to do a quick walkthrough of it all, or shall I do my best to stumble through it since I haven't read all of it?
Tisk, you didn't prepare for the show? Jeez, you do like nothing.
Yeah, I know. You know, the 8 pages of show notes I have. Nothing.
Well, okay, this is a thread assembled by Palehoof on the forums. I believe it was Palehoof. One of the MVPs.
He's awesome.
In any case, it goes through and links to other various blue/orange posts, thanks to the Halloween skin. Particular contention, Sarek said, an exact list has yet to be revealed as we're still working to see what exactly can be included, but all of the class and talent changes are confirmed, as well as the new honor system. So that means in patch 1.13 or whatever the bloody heck they're calling it.
Yeah,
1.13. Whatever. In that patch, we will have 41 point talents. We just won't have the extra 10 talent points from leveling.
Awesome.
Sort of. You don't get all the new skills either.
Well,
yeah. Because those are all above level 60.
Not all of them.
Most of them.
Most of them, but not all of them.
And this is sort of making some mages very, very iffy, because the threat reduction talents and inherent threat reduction in the nukes has been drastically reduced. And we don't have invisibility to compensate for overthreat. But since I use Scorch Spam, because I'm the only one in the guild that has improved Scorch, apparently.
Yeah,
I
you'll
don't
be fine.
Aggro generally.
And I, on the other hand, am very much looking forward to it, because several of the talents that I'm really looking forward to are pre-60. Yay, shaman talent trees. Now I just have to get more priests and druids in my guild so I can respec. By the way, if you happen to have a horde druid somewhere sitting around at 60 and would like a raiding guild who would really appreciate you, Guardian on Doomhammer is currently recruiting druids. I.e., we have 2 of them. 3 of them. Most often than not, we have 1 in a raid. Come and get free epics. But yeah, I'm actually more excited about the inclusion of the honor changes, because I want my Black Godo.
Speaking of honor, yay, 999 Exalted with Stormpike last night.
Wow. Grat, K. I can't stomach...
I'm now a proud owner of 3 new epics.
I just can't stomach playing Battlegrounds right now, because there's way too many people who are just constantly in there. Well, let's continue on. Teleport spells for Outland. There will be a mage teleport spell for at least 1 city. And it's the one that happens to have the portals for every major city for players to use. And, of course, the talent updates for shamans, which are interesting. And Rivenlord's currently having a heart attack over one of these. Namely, parry. Renamed Spirit Weapons, now gives a chance to parry enemy melee attacks and reduces threat generated by your melee attacks by 15%. Personally, I like this. Shamans who tank?
Oh no, but shamans can't be tanking now.
Yeah, you can still tank even with that. You don't have to take the damn talent. Mental Quickness. Moved to Unleash Rage position. Unleashed Rage? Moved Dual Weapon Specialization position. Dual Weapon Specialization moved to Mental Quickness position. Reduced to 3 ranks for 2, 4, and 6% hit chance. Still requires dual wield. And on Elemental, Totem of Wrath is now increased chance to hit and critically hit with spells by 3% to all. Elemental Precision, now increase your chance to hit with Fire, Frost, and Nature spells by 1, 2, and 3%, and reduces the threat caused by Fire, Frost, and Nature spells by 4, 7, and 10%. Yay. Various Burning Crusade PvP questions. Kay, since you're the uber PvP-er here, why don't you get through these?
I'm hardly a PvP-er, I just wanted to get exalted. the same person asked all these questions. Will we be able to buy any honor system awards that we could have with the old system? For example, I can buy the rank 5 bracers even after the system resets. To which it was responded, all the current rewards will be available in the new system. Sort of dodged the question. Yay.
Now that was a perfectly good answer to that question.
Well, I read the question as, he can get the rank 5 bracers right now. Will he be able to right away when the system comes out?
No, he won't have the honor tokens.
He didn't directly answer that. No, but he didn't directly answer that. Second question. Will there be all new PvP rewards and or are the old ones being redone? The answer, new Battleground rewards up to level 70. All arena rewards will be new.
Yay.
Therefore, are all the arena rewards separate from honor rewards? Yes. Will our current reputations for battlegrounds be reset? For example, my 45 shaman is honored with Warsong Gulch and Arathi Basin. If I don't PvP with them until Burning Crusade launches, will I still be honored? The response? No, reputation will be left as it is, but because of the reward system change, will not have the same value or meaning. We'll have to wait and see how that exactly turns out. And finally, are there any plans to limit twinking in the expansion or make it harder for them to get honor? As I see it now, what's to stop people from sitting at 19, 29, etc. and pooling honor until they can buy something, anything with it, if that is how the honor system will work? The answer is, not at this time. We find it to be a viable player-generated approach to battlegrounds. Level requirements of items are likely to prevent that scenario you mentioned. It wasn't really the case in the current setting, so it will likely remain the same.
Exactly. Yeah, I really want to know where this rumor about rap getting reset started, because it's the damned stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Meh. Doomsayers, that's all.
oh my god, you're gonna reset her order, they're gonna steal it. I'm like, yeah, and? It means those of us who, you know, don't have 40 hours a week to sit in front of our keyboard actually have a chance at getting stuff.
Hey, to be fair, I got the last third of Revered and all the Exalted last night in about 4 hours.
I was referring to the rank rewards.
I know.
Yeah. Rep, easy to grind. Rank, on some servers, virtually impossible. Sigh. Well, that pretty much wraps us up for news posts, unless Kay has anything special he'd like to mention other than those.
I don't believe so at this time. Aside from scheduled forum maintenance tomorrow at 3 a.m. Pacific.
Excuse me. Well, let's go ahead and start up our topic at hand, since I'm not really quite willing to get into any of my other rants at the moment. So, items and artifacts in Azerothian history. And having seen the reactions in the pre-show, I now realize this topic comes more and more at an opportune time, because apparently a lot of people have forgotten about a lot of important artifacts. Some of which are quite possibly going to be making a reappearance, or have made a reappearance recently. So, I'm going to give you guys a brief overview of what I'm going to try to hit for today's show, and whether or not I get to all of it, we'll find out. Basic overview of what I'm going to try to get to are the elemental weapons, the artifacts of Medivh, the artifacts of Sargeras, a few other items that play an important role in dealing with the Dark Portal, the Demon Soul, I'm going to take that one item off this list, Ashbringer, the Might of Menethil, and the Rune Blades. So, hopefully...
Aw, why'd you remove that item? Just because it has, like, two lines of knowledge?
Yeah, well, you know, hey. If you notice, I actually removed two items from that list. But, yeah. So, we're going to start off with probably the two items people are most familiar with from a gameplay point of view. That would be Sulphurous Hand of Ragnaros and Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker. There's actually a good chunk of story linking these two items, and they're worth going into. Kay, does anybody in your guild happen to have one of these?
We got the final binding of the Windseeker about 2 weeks ago that we needed.
Awesome.
And we have Sulphurous. We got the Sulphurous drop.
Very nice.
And it has now been built.
Who's it going to? Class.
It went to Dunnerbane, the local paladin.
Ow! Nice, though.
Thunder Fury, on the other hand, is going to one of the guild's main tanks.
That's much better to hear. Alright. But, after the Elementals were banished from Azeroth and imprisoned in the Elemental Plane, there was a great deal of chaos amongst the ranks, as various Elemental lords and lieutenants tried to find ways out of their prison and gain enough power to escape. And in the process, the Elementals turned on one another and began fighting. In particular, Ragnaros decided he was going to turn against the Elementals of Air, and as such sent two of his lieutenants, Baron Geddon and Gar, to ambush second-in-command of the Elements of Air, Thundarin. Taken totally by surprise, he was captured and brought to Ragnaros, who then struck Thundarin with Sulphurous and consumed his essence nearly completely. What little was left was then imprisoned in a Talisman of Binding, each half of which was then given to Geddon and Gar. And those of you who have done either of the quest lines will discover that there's still a great deal of animosity amongst these beings. Fire elementals and wind elementals don't get along. In fact, fire elementals pretty much don't get along with anything. Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp.
Indeed. Well, next in our topic list, of course, things that everyone is currently talking about, artifacts of Medivh. Kay, would you like to give the overview on Medivh, or should I?
Judging that I read The Last Guardian not 3 days ago.
Go right ahead.
Because I was really, really bored. should I go into the whole thing, including Eglin?
Yes. All of it.
Alrighty. Medivh, he is, or was, if you want to argue certain semantics, the final guardian of Tirith Fall. He was the son of the guardian Eowyn, who was the last guardian to be chosen by the Order of Tirith Fall. The guardians were charged with going about the world, imbued with all the they could have from the Order of Tirith Fall, to banish any demons or demonic presences that crept into the world due to the rampant magic being used by the elves and the humans and yada yada yada. Anywho, Eowyn went to Northrend, she went north to where a large cluster of demons were, and they were hunting dragons. She saved the dragons, and just before she banished the last demons, they managed to get off a summoning spell, and they summoned the physical entity of Sargeras into Azeroth. To which she fought, finally vanquished, and she thought that was that. She left the remains in a tomb long since sunk below the ocean when the Well of Eternity imploded. Unbeknownst to her at that time, Sargeras used his powers and indeed meant to lose so that he could move his spirit into her womb, because he figured that she would try to have a child. Knowing her, knowing what she was like. And she did! She had a child, against the wishes of the Order of Tirith Fall. That child was named Medivh. I forget the exact meaning of that. Something in High Elven, I believe.
I knew this at one point. But yeah, it does need something in High Elven. Is it the Watcher?
Anywho. No.
No.
It's something secretive. Anywho. Medivh grew up to be friends with Anduin Lothar and Brainfart. Yes. Lane, the Prince of Azeroth. About the time, I believe, of puberty for Medivh, when his guardian powers would manifest themselves, he went into a coma and was left and cared for at Northshire Abbey. People believed this was just because his body couldn't cope with the sheer power of all the guardianship, but it was actually the power emerging, yes, but it was also a battle for his very soul against Sargeras. Anywho, he eventually awoke, and without getting into the details of Khadgar, he worked sort of like a double life. There was bits of Medivh that were still Medivh himself acting, but it was ultimately Sargeras that was controlling the body. And doing so, he summoned the orcs to Azeroth.
Indeed.
He is the one who opened the dark portal. Medivh didn't, I don't think, fully understood what was going on. Maybe he did. But Khadgar, his then apprentice, and Garona, the half-orc, half-insert race here, were staying at Karazhan at the time, and they began to get very worried with Medivh. He was becoming extremely erratic, and Garona and Khadgar were actually attacked by a demon inside Karazhan, which Medivh didn't believe them. So, they went to Stormwind, they got Lothar, because Medivh was extremely erratic, was very, very hostile, and they came back to Karazhan and ultimately defeated Medivh in the duplicate basement. This, in turn, released Sargeras from Medivh's body. Medivh's body was also destroyed at that, but Medivh's soul was also released, his pure soul.
Yay. And hence how, you know, he manages to come back later on.
It's actually explained, too.
Yeah, novel freaking concept. But putting aside the Warcraft 3 issues, let's talk about the two items which pretty much always come up in conjunction when discussing Medivh. First and foremost, the Book of Medivh, or Books of Medivh, depending on which theory you go with, and Atish, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I'm sorry for being so sniffly, guys. Runny nose for the loss. Basically, the Book of Medivh is one of the spell books of Medivh that is containing his knowledge and or writings. After his death, at least one of them found their way into the Library of New Stormwind. During the Second War, of course, Ner'zhul managed to walk off with one of these books and used it to open the multiple portals in Outland that eventually made the world shatter because, well, he was missing a few other components, which we'll talk about later. Khadgar recovered the book, used it to steal the portal from the Outland side, and as far as we knew at that point, it stayed in Outland with Khadgar. Now, sometime after the Second War and before the Third War, one of the Archmagi of the Cairn Tor came into possession of an object known as the Book of Medivh, which was then stolen from Dalaran by Arthas of Kel'Thuzad, and was last seen in Kel'Thuzad's possession. Now, we have to ask the question. Is it one book or two? What do you think, Kay?
I think it was originally a retcon, which they then... They haven't actually explicitly said, but I believe they're leading along the lines of it was perhaps two different books. They just happened to be titled the same thing, because Medivh had a very, very massive library of very, very dangerous books.
Yeah. In fact, I kind of go with that, because I went and looked up the game script. What a geek am I. And Archimonde actually says it's the only remaining spellbook of Medivh, which implies multiple spellbooks. And of course, on the other hand, we have the famous bird on a stick, as our dear and beloved Roast Biff calls it. Or a pigeon on a stick.
I wholeheartedly agree.
See, I like the way it looks, but hey. Anyway.
It's too boring.
Yeah. Atish is the great staff of the Guardian. It is the staff which is handed down from Guardian to Guardian over the, you know, millennia. And is an object of incredible power in of itself. Unfortunately, we learn that, per Medivh's possession by Sargeras, a great portion of the corruption from Sargeras was actually coming from the staff. And after his death, the staff found its way into the Violet Citadel of Dalaran, where after a series of unfortunate accidents, quote-unquote, where several mages died after handling the staff, they locked it up. During the fall of Dalaran, something happened and the staff went kablooey into 42 pieces, 40 splinters, and the head and heel of the staff. And of course, Kel'Thuzad, being the magic-hungry lich that he is, put every effort into trying to find all of the pieces. In particular, he managed to gather all but the heel of the staff. He managed to find all 40 splinters and the head. Fortunately for us, the base was found by Bronzebeard, who then lost it when he was eaten by C'Thun. How's that? Not...
It's a trap.
Indeed. Not an object you want to play with. People die, people get eaten, people get corrupted by dark titans. And honestly, I have to say, for people who don't like how it looks, you have to remember this is an incredibly old object. This is probably the oldest human artifact still in existence on Azeroth. So of course it's simple looking. I mean, it's not meant to be showy and flashy. It's meant to be a symbol of, you know, the station. Sigh. And don't get me started on the fact that it's a quote-unquote caster legendary, but shamans don't get it.
Lol's Blizzard clearly favors, not...
Druids.
Paladins or shamans. Yes, druids. Druids obviously get all the love.
Yeah, this is the only love druids got at all. It's like, well, we're gonna nerf you, and oh yeah, your tanking abilities are pretty much nerfed due to lack of gear. But here, have a pigeon on a stick. Look, it's got a pretty green flappy thing. Look at the shiny, look at the shiny. Oh god, that was a great little image of somebody dangling the ribbon of a tish over like a druid in cat form. If you've ever wondered what processes go on inside my mind, don't. It's a scary place.
I try not to.
Yes. Sigh. So, continuing on. Oh, let's move on to the artifacts of Sargeras. Nice little collection of items that I've sort of lumped together here, including the Tomb of Sargeras, the Jeweled Scepter of Sargeras, and the Eye of Sargeras. And again, Kay, since you have most recently read the texts, you sort of touched on the tomb. Do you want to fill in some of the details, or shall I?
I think I could piece it all together from my memories of Warcraft 3 and the, like, three lines as mentioned in the book.
Yeah, well. I'll go with what
Unless
I've...
you want to.
I'll go with what I've got. Basically, the Tomb of Sargeras really refers to a remnant of a Temple of Alun in the ruined city of Surinar. Okay. Where have you heard that name before?
Sorry, I was saying that I have no job and don't go to school in IRC.
Suramar? Elven City?
Ah, haha. It's the former hometown of Malfurion and Illidan.
Exactly. I thought that was a nice touch, but hey. The tomb was sent to the bottom of the sea by the Aspects, who rightfully decided, hey, this is a damn dangerous thing to have around. Let's sink it. It was later raised by Gul'dan, who thought that the body would basically make him a god. Which idea? The idea was actually sort of implanted in Sargeras's, in Gul'dan's head by Sargeras.
And, well, by association with you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Really, when you've got one controlling intellect of malevolent evil, you can pretty much just assume that all actions initiated by Gul'dan and Medivh in that period were actually the products of an evil genius. So, yeah. Interestingly enough, I This is kind of weird. I noticed that the name of the islands changes at a few points. It goes from being the Shattered Islands to the Broken Islands, which is kind of weirded me out. And the fact that they're moving. And apparently in Lands of Mystery, they actually provided an explanation for that. E.g. that it's being pulled into the maelstrom. How crazy is that? Well, the other two items, one of which you guys are probably kicking yourselves over not remembering the name of, is the Jeweled Scepter of Sargeras, which was basically yet another item, an artifact of Sargeras, which was used to channel dark energies to open new portals to worlds. And was used by Ner'zhul to open various portals. And in addition to this, there's also a few, you know, bits and pieces of Sargeras apparently laying around the island, in particular the Eye of Sargeras. Lots of people went looking for it, Gul'dan in particular, and was killed in the process. Yeah. Anything I missed in that, Kay? Since you're the resident Sargeras guardian slash whatever expert duck thing.
It's a trap.
Yes, indeed. It is a trap. That was amusing. Someone just got kicked in the main IRC channel for yelling, Illidan is dead. I don't care what Blizzard's crappy lore says. He was killed. Y'all in caps. And if you're not in our IRC channel, missing the true craziness that is my audience, come join us at irc.wowirc.com. #WowRadio. Ooh, my background music's running out. So, we're going to take a brief music break and continue after this. Yeah. Because I'm lazy, I'm going to put on some more V&V Nation. I'm sorry. I do believe I'm going to put on Tempest. Hope you folks enjoy. We'll see you on the other side of the song, because it's 6 minutes long. I'm Strixus.
And I use memes.
Indeed. He's a feathered meme user. Fear him. And we'll return in just a moment. And hello and welcome back to another edition of Lore Keepers. I'm Strixus.
Hello.
That's Kay, who never identifies himself on air. Just going to have to get him a giant blinky. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to have to get you a giant blinky light that says warning duck. Anyway. What?
Do people expect show hosts to just randomly disappear and swap places during the middle of a show?
I don't know.
That only happens on, like, Happy Hour Tavern, which doesn't go anymore.
That's true, but, you know, hey, for all I know, you could be, you know, a cloned K. That's a good
Why?
Idea.
Why? How could I do that? I live in the middle of Bumble Bleep, as you say.
That's
I don't have cloning
really
services out
good
in Bumble
idea.
Bleep.
I could have multiple K's, my bidding. Oh, hey, hey. So let's continue. I believe we left off with the Eye of Sargeras. We're going to continue now with another eye, which, strangely enough, we haven't seen anything of since Warcraft 2, interestingly enough, which would be the Eye of Dalaran. Kay, do you remember this one?
No, because I haven't played Warcraft 2 in months. Years, even.
The Eye of Dalaran was actually the source of magic for the nation of Dalaran. E.g. how, you know, the High Elves had the Sunwell. Dalaran had the Eye of Dalaran. When the Horde first invaded the city, they actually managed to hide the thing, but brought it back when they were rebuilding it for the first time. According to Warcraft 2 Beyond the Dark Portal, Taran Griffin Gorfind was actually able to steal the Eye of Dalaran for Nerzul, but never actually got it to him. The fate of the Eye is thereafter unknown. Thus why we never see it again. So hopefully, maybe, if Dalaran ever gets out of that giant pink bubble of doom, we'll find out. I wonder if they ever got it back.
Rumors abound it was dropped in a bowl of caviar.
Murloc ate it. Eyeballs. So, what other item might follow nicely in this chain? Why, the skull of Gul'dan. Poor Gul'dan. No rest for the weary. After his death, strangely enough, they managed to recover his skull out of a giant pile of rubble intact. Don't ask me how. Then defleshed the skull and turned it into a channeling totem for demonic energies. Somehow it managed to get into the hands of a lowly bone jeweler officer. Then Nerzul got his hands on it. It was basically, as I mentioned in pre-show, there were a few items that you needed to successfully open a portal. That is, the Book of Medivh for knowledge, the Eye of Dalaran, the Jeweled Scepter of Sargeras, and the Skull. Right? Good. Now, who wants to tell me which one of these Nerzul did not have?
I'm having an intellectual, semi-intellectual debate in the IRC channel. What?
He didn't get the eye. And without said eye, for some bizarre reason, when he opened the various portals, it overloaded. And basically tore Outland asunder, creating the shattered world that we know today. When the Book of Medivh and the Skull were stolen back, Khadgar used the Skull and the Book to close the portal, and somehow threw the Skull away. Somehow, the Skull made it back to Azeroth. Why do I get this mental image of this little skull with legs, you know? And this time, ends up in the hands of the Burning Legion in Felwood. And eventually gets absorbed by Illidan, who goes all demony. And etc., etc., etc. Gets himself cleaved in twain by Frostmourne. Yeah. So, okay.
You certainly skipped over your nuts and Skull of Gul'dan rather quickly.
Yeah, I did. I think everybody at least remembers the Skull of Gul'dan. Maybe not so much the Eye of Dalaran and the Jeweled Scepter or the Book of Medivh. But they remember the skull. It's been the most recently used of the items. Right? Yeah, right.
Nuh-uh.
What? What's more recently used than...
The three in-game have been the most currently used. Recently used.
Huh? Three in game?
A tea.
Etc. I meant of the items to summon to open the dark portal. Oy. I still want to know how what's his face manages to get the damn portal open without any of these things. Sigh. Anyway, it's okay. Shall I pull you out of the IRC, or shall I talk about Ashbringer?
I should totally talk about the one that you were going to skip over.
Well, you should talk about the... You should talk about the Dragon Soul, / Demon Soul, before I talk about Ashbringer. Or maybe I should just prove how obscure my research got when searching for this stuff, and talk about soul thrives. What do you think?
Do that last one.
Soul thrives? Okay. So most of you are going, whoa? Well, most people just kind of look at Zulfrak and get their carrot on a stick and get the heck out of that horrible place. There's something else of importance there as well. A little sword called Zulfrak's the Lasher, also known as Sunlasher. The Sen Fury tribe, one of the more forgotten tribes, trolls, tells a story of, well, of a very, very powerful sword said to be able to strike the sun from the sky.
They're so undemanding credit for this.
Oh, he can hush. But, point being, Soulthrice was broken into two smaller blades, as now each one is currently in the hands of the chief of the tribe and his advisor. But you can actually obtain them and create Soulthrice the Outlasher. It's an interesting sword. Definitely. Nice little pocket story for a non-cap level sword. And just goes to show that trolls aren't very good at judging power. So, okay.
Yo.
Dragon Soul?
He who's demanding credit just screamed, damn it, in PMs.
Lol.
Anywho. Dragon Soul, then, yes?
Hi. If he wants credit, he, you know, Alrighty. Shouldn't have given me the show.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Alright, Dragon Soul. Bit of backstory required. It was the War of the Ancients. The dragons were, you know, doing nothing except talking. Like dragons typically do. And so, finally, one of the most powerful dragons, Neltharion, came up with this grand idea. Each dragon in existence would put a bit of their essence into this small, insignificant little disc that was no larger than a dollar. Well, slightly larger than a dollar. And using this disc, they would wield great power such as toss all the demons out of this dimension. Yay! Great idea on paper.
Or at least on, you know...
The only dragon that did not put his essence into the demon's dragon soul was, in fact, Neltharion. So, the dragons flew out to go and meet the demons head-on and use their new, immensely powerful weapon to just brush them all off the face of Azeroth. And at that time, Neltharion suddenly went... No. To put it lightly. He blasted the demon army, then he blasted the Night Elf army, in which all the other dragons went, WTF. And then they tried to stop him, because they realized he was insane. And especially the blue dragons especially went right after him, because Maligos was the largest supporter of Neltharion during the whole thing.
And he regrets that.
Neltharion just blasted them out of the sky, virtually killed all of the blue dragon flight, and sent the rest of the dragons flying off into nowhere, far, far away, and then retreated, and went, haha, I am powerful, you will all have to bow down to me, sort of thing.
Indeed. So, yeah.
That was the emergence of Neltharion's insanity. Though it was happening for a long time beforehand. Anywho. Various forces tried to steal it to make it so Neltharion couldn't use it so they could use the power themselves. A few succeeded. Eventually, the dragon aspects banded together, and though they couldn't actually destroy it, since their essence were inside it, they made it so Neltharion could never use it himself.
That was a good move.
And it was lost for 10,000 years. Until it mysteriously surfaced during the orcish invasion of Azeroth. And was given to Necros Skullcrusher, a powerful warlock, who wielded but a fraction of its true power, and in doing so captured Alexstrasza, the aspect of life, the red dragon aspect, and forced her to basically breed to make dragons for the war effort.
Yeah, I want to know what she was breeding with.
Her consort.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus.
How do you force a dragon? Never mind. That's an entirely different topic.
Another topic that we should not go into. We've already had an episode like this.
Yes, we did. And strangely enough, no one asked that question.
Great. You just set the stage.
I'm not taking questions on that this week.
You never take questions, though. It's me who takes questions.
I'm not answering questions on that this week. How's that? Better?
Okay. And I'm not taking questions on that this week. That's me. So, don't ask that question to me. Or any variation of it, please.
Anyway, continue.
Alright. It was during this time that, Deathwing, as he was now called, decided to enact his plan. It was known to him that the Kirin Tor were sending a messenger, or not a messenger, a lone wizard out to, well, it was an observation mission, quote-unquote, but one of the six of Dalaran was actually sending this wizard out to free Alexstrasza. Neltharion knew this, and manipulated him, and eventually gave him a medallion to which Neltharion, Deathwing, could communicate directly to him. He guided him into Grimbatal, and there, the messenger went blacked out. He awoke to find that the neck piece was gone. Well, ruined. And the last thing he remembered was Alexstrasza saying, "No, get out of here," sort of thing, screaming for him to not be here. Anywho, eventually, the orcs decided that there was a huge alliance army advancing, even though it was just this one lone mage. And they moved all of the dragons out of Grimbatal, and they were going to Don Algaz, because that's where the last bastion of orc forces were at the time. And you can actually see their carts in the wetlands right now.
Indeed. Nice little point. So many people are like, "Where
this
is
was,
it here?"
This was exactly what Deathwing wanted. Once they were out, all the eggs were out as well. He planned on stealing a large chunk of the eggs to rebuild his own decimated flight. That didn't happen, though. Because the aspects of, well, the green aspect, the bronze aspect, the blue aspect, Nazdarmu, Maligos, and Ysera all showed up to stop him, though they were drastically weakened because the demon soul was still in existence, as it was then called. The lone mage woke up, he got out of Grimbatal, and was at the battlefield, and using the stone, as he thought it was, as he eventually learned it wasn't, using the scale of Deathwing, he managed to destroy the demon soul.
Yay!
Thus returning all of the powers back to all of the dragon, including the aspect, and Alexstrasza was freed, and last we saw, they were all chasing after Deathwing, who they all hate, and Alexstrasza indeed pities. And that's the last we saw of them. It was a very spectacular battle.
And thus giving rise to my theory of where he currently is, hiding in some little tiny corner of the universe, whimpering with his tail between his legs. So yeah, this episode now holds the record for Amount K has talked.
I talked more during the dragon episode.
That's true. I'll tease some more out of you before the show's over. Still gotta do Q&A. And it's looking we're not gonna get to Blue Shirt Monday this time, because I have still got tons of stuff to cover. Namely, Ashbringer! And I apologize for the noises in the background. My mic is geeking out today and is continuously open, even when I'm not talking, so I don't know what's going on with it. The sounds you're hearing in the background are, in fact, Mr. Fiancé Man. Everyone, say hello. Anyway, so back to the topic at hand. Namely, Ashbringer. Yes, indeed. So, do I really need to go into depth in the history of Ashbringer? I think most of them know it by now. Because I've talked about it, what, 4 times now?
Humor them. Don't go in depth, but okay. Briefly describe.
Okay. Great big sword. Made for the Scarlet High Lord Morgaine. Said, here, take it. Both the sword and the man are known as Ashbringer. Namely, because, well, him plus undead equals field of ash left over from undead. That makes sense? Good.
That was before he even unsheathed the sword. Even though, how the heck can that sword have a sheath?
Yeah. Very, very carefully. And that little gold thing must, like, tuck in. But, in the end, as so many great heroes, he was betrayed and ambushed, and Morgaine and Fairbank, who you all have probably encountered running through Scarlet Monastery before, were killed by hordes of undead. And, well, yeah. Should I give them the spoiler of who finally killed him? I'll let that one sit. Let me just put it this way. It wasn't an undead.
It was a trap.
It was indeed a trap. Well, of course, you've probably read the transcripts. And the new transcripts from the Caverns of Time.
I haven't read the new ones. I don't want to know.
Okay, I won't talk about those, but I do believe someone posted them on the Lorekeeper forums, which you can go see by going to www.dosuradio.com/forums and go to the Lorekeeper forums. All I'm going to say is this. We're told that the creator of Ashbringer is dead, as is one of his sons. Now, there just happens to be another one, who somehow is in Outland. Now, I have an odd question. Kay, do we know who Khadgar's father is?
It's not mentioned in The Last Guardian. His parents, I believe, are even might be referenced once.
Did they give a name? Why do I have a creeping feeling who that son is?
Because it, too, is a trap.
Indeed. Maybe I'm completely wrong and completely off base, but Archmage Temeline was of the previous generation, and was probably the right age to have a son in that generation.
Chick-a-bow.
Indeed. It's just a thought. Just a thought. And, you know, mages do tend to have mage children. Anyway, let's continue. My thoughts aside. So, a few last items to cover. And strangely enough, they're all Arthas related. Lol. Emo. So, some of you might have heard of a little mace called the Might of Menethil. Currently, pretty much the most powerful mace in the game. Well, Menethil just happens to be a rather important last name. Okay.
We often sail out of it.
Indeed. And some little emo boy happened to have it as his last name, and some very unobservant father who didn't pay nearly enough attention to his son, and whose blood somehow managed to stay stained on the throne room floor. Ew, I wouldn't have Arthas if... Never mind. Well, I need to not look at IRC in the middle of a conversation.
Indeed.
Yeah. Our listeners can sometimes scare me, Kay. But other times they're quite amusing. I love them. But on the other hand, when Arthas dropped his mace, he just happened to pick up Frostmourne, a rune blade. Now, we don't have much of a definition of what constitutes a rune blade, but we know of at least two of them, if not possibly three. Correct, Kay?
Yes.
Can you name them?
No, because I wasn't paying attention.
Lol. Sigh. Frostmourne, the Rune Blade of Baron Riverdale, and possibly Malada.
Though that might just be a play on words.
Exactly. But I'm tempted to think that Malada is also a Rune Blade. But anyway, Frostmourne, the soul-sucking, Death Knight-creating, evil sword embodied with a small portion of the mind of the Lich King himself, and sentient in its own right. Probably the most powerful weapon in the whole of Azeroth at the moment. Much to say other than that. Other than, I expect to see it again at some point in the future. Probably, you know, cleaving people in half. On the other hand, the nameless rune blade of the Baron certainly seems to be significantly less powerful. However, it does put forth the theory that a rune blade is required for a Death Knight, which means there's a lot of them. And of course, Maladath, which I'll just leave it at that. So, you ready for a music break and a Q&A?
Sure.
Indeed. Well, I had a request. Which I now have to find. That's odd. That's very weird. Why don't I have that?
So, yeah.
Anyway, let's see. I know I have it. Kay, say something.
I don't like it when you put me on the spot like this, and I'm reading the WoW forums right now for some bizarre reason, reading the thread, funniest corpse graffiti you have ever seen.
Share some.
Apparently, there was someone who was dead named Nerf Murlocs near the Murlocs in Westfall.
Okay, I've been given an alternative to this, and I will definitely play that. So, yeah. Indeed. So, here's a little Advent Children music for you. Hope you folks enjoy. I'm going to start off with Divinity 1, and, well, other things obviously coming. See you on the other side. Start PMing your questions about today's topic, artifacts. Okay, send them to me, and I will pointedly close the window on you and ignore them. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. And hello, and welcome back. This is the Lore Keepers with Kay and Strixus. And yes, we did not miraculously turn into other people during the music break. So, Kay, what do we have?
We have... stuff.
Huh?
Stuff.
Stuff, okay. Is it any of the stuff that I asked for?
Some.
Okay. Well, start asking questions. And folks, keep sending your questions to Kay. But at least, well, nah. How many do you have, Kay?
A decent amount.
Yeah, okay. We'll close questions for now. Ask away, Kay.
Treberius asks, what are the Dalaran wizards using to reconstruct Dalaran?
Good question. We don't know. I assume they got their hands back on the eye.
I assume that they were building Dalaran with wood and stones and other building materials.
Don't forget nails.
Or screws. They probably had screws back then.
No, actually, screws are a fairly modern invention. In fact, technically, nails are a fairly modern invention. Most buildings were built with wooden pegs for a while.
They have nails, because firbolgs attack you with planks with nails in them.
That's true. Okay, continuing on.
Malachi asks, so if Medivh had some bits and pieces of himself still in his body, couldn't he have had some control over his powers and still use them if he wanted to?
No.
I'm going to field this answer, because Strixus probably doesn't really know too much about the book.
No,
story.
I don't. But I'm going to go with an initial no.
No, it's true. He didn't have any real direct control over his own actions, but it's generally accepted that he did have some sort of subtle influence, or else why else would Sargeras have taken on an apprentice that could have with help beaten him? That was what I believe Lothar said in Medivh's final moments.
That's true.
So, Relinquished asks, if a mortal tries to use an artifact of Sargeras, what would happen to them if their body survives the overwhelming power?
Probably not a good thing.
That's incredibly vague.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because really, no normal mortal has gotten their hands on one of them. And I honestly don't think they'd survive the initial feedback, personally. But if they did, I'm sure their will would be instantaneously overwhelmed by what little is left of Sargeras. And that would generally be a bad thing, because he's currently, floating in the void without form.
Oh, Alrighty. Mad Cow Crazy says, in the lobby areas for allies above Astronar, you find a squid corpse with a giant sword stuck in his head. Does the lore mention at all what this sword is?
Yes, it's... well... Sorry, totally distracted. Yeah, it... We don't know the name of it, but the area is called the Master's Glaive, which basically speaks to the fact that no one in Blizzard knows what the heck a glaive is. Yeah.
Isn't that a form of polearm?
Yes. I think they meant to say the Master's Glaive, but hey.
You don't spell glade with an I, a V, or an E.
Yeah,
actually,
I know.
You do with an E.
Yeah. I just don't know what was really going on there. But yeah, go back and listen to the episodes on the old gods, and you'll find out what that is. But we don't really have a name for that thing.
Okay. Illyrian asks, related artifacts, what statues does Nozdarmu have in his collection? Kind of oddly specific.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know. I've never thought of him much as a collector of statuary.
He's definitely a collector of things, though.
Oh, well, yeah. He's a dragon. Never known a dragon.
Well, no, but even more so.
Well, yeah. He's an obsessive-compulsive dragon. That's even worse.
Indeed, he's obsessed with cataloging everything and organizing it all.
Exactly. Obsessive-compulsive dragon. Worst possible combination of personality traits.
What about obsessive-compulsive-insane black dragons?
Actually, that's slightly less dangerous.
You're saying insanity is good in that regard?
Yeah, because it usually is a distraction.
Okay, Illyrian also follows up with the question of why does a gnome in Blackwing Lair know how to smelt elementium bars that you need to create Thunder Fury?
Because they're, gnomes are actually pretty good at dealing with certain elements. In fact, certain things about... Kay, do you want to tell them about the elementium plates?
Those were goblins.
Yeah, there's gnomes working with them, too.
And they were adamantite, or adamantite.
I thought they were elementium.
No.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay, so we don't really have an answer for that one?
Yeah, then? We really don't have an answer to this other than, you know, gnomes. Gnomes. Okay. No, apparently it's a goblin. Not a gnome. So that makes a lot more sense.
Silly Illyrian. But, yeah. That makes even less sense than the theory that I was thinking. Actually makes no sense at all in the theory that I was thinking. That. So, actually, if it's a goblin, chances are it's trying to profit from it somehow.
Exactly. Goblins equal profit. Step one, goblin. Step two, question. Step three, profit. Anyway, continuing.
Illyrian also asks, are there any special artifacts or weapons that the other elemental lieutenants use?
Yes. We just don't know the names of them. We assume each one of them has their own particular weapon, both the elemental lieutenants and the elemental princes.
Illyrian also asks, considering how powerful the legendary weapons are, why do you think Nefarian never tried to seek one out?
Ego? He's a dragon. He's much more comfortable just, you know, smashing things with his claws. And it's much more satisfying to squish something yourself than using a shoe in your hand.
Well, in regards to Thunder Fury and Sulfurus, it's probably because he couldn't.
Yeah,
he had to use the whole legion of Upper Blackrock Spire to even get a stalemate going between Ragnaros and himself.
Very true. But point being, you know, it's also ego. There are plenty of other things he could have gone looking for, and he hasn't.
Okay, and Illyrian asks, finally, what new or special artifacts, weapons, or items do you think we'll find in Outland?
Lots.
That's not specific.
Let me put it this way. Think back to the heroes who went beyond the portal. Chances are you're at least going to find one associated with each of them. And Leto, I'm not going to give that spoiler. There is a very familiarly named hammer in Outland.
La 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 la. You don't want to hear.
I didn't say a name. Anyway, continuing.
Jamba asks, According to the story, could Illidan turn into a demon before he got the Skull of Uldan? He goes on to say, I believe he does once right before he gets out of prison. We've also seen a sort of continuity error that when he transformed back, he didn't have wings, but then in the Frozen Throne, he had those cool new models.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at that. That's a good point.
And yeah, I need to play Reign of Chaos.
Yeah, that whole demon thing. The whole Demon Hunter thing is just riddled with continuity errors. But hey. And Kay, after the show, I need to ask you something. Anyway, continuing.
Okay. Treberus asks, why the heck would... Oh, by the way, spoiler. By the way, Outland spoiler here.
Major Outland spoilers! I need to make a sound effect
okay.
for that.
Question, why the heck would Illyria and Khadgar have a kid? Lol.
You're the last, you know, man on Outland? Yeah. Desperation. And Leto's screaming at me that they don't have a kid. Oh, different people. It's not Khadgar's kid. Yeah, and still, you know, desperation. When you're the last human male on Earth, you know. Continuing.
Mad Cow Crazy asks, during your last show, I think it was, I asked about dragons and emotions. You said there have been a few cases where dragons fall in love with humans. Could you give some example and how did that work out? Actually, that was a question. It was posed in a question.
Say that again slower?
During your last show, I think it was I who asked about dragons and emotions. You said there have been a few cases where dragons fall in love with humans. Can you give some examples and how did that work out? To which I responded, that was actually posed in a question. And it referenced a different book by another author not relating to WoW.
Indeed, Warcraft. Yeah. But I'm definitely going to say that not emotions in human form, but I definitely say that Xeragos lets things get the better of him in certain situations.
Okay, Lenin1917 asks, whose technology is better, gnomish or goblin?
Goblin, it doesn't blow up on you.
Gnomish doesn't blow up on you, goblin does.
Huh?
Backward.
No. Gnomish stuff blows up on you all the time. Gnomish
you
rocket boots.
You use the goblin rocket boots and they're liable to explode and
yeah,
you
well,
lose the
true.
Item.
That's true. There are other goblin... Are there other gnomish things that blow up on you? Like the teleporter.
Goblins specialize in building bombs!
Yes, but that's supposed to blow up!
They're obsessed with blowing things up.
Yes, but you build things on purpose to blow up. That's different than things blowing up when they're not supposed to.
No, they don't care if it blows up when they're not supposed to. That's my point.
Okay. But anyway, I'm going to say this right now. Working for profit almost always means better technology. Hence, goblins, better technology. And strangely enough,
goblins
Jamba has a point. But yeah, continue.
Malachi asks, is there any reason why there's only... Oh, by the way, spoiler again. Outland spoiler. And I'm going to mute for the answer to this because I don't know it and I don't want to know it. Is there any reason why there's only one huge Fel Reaver known so far in Outland?
No clue. You can come back, Kay.
Alrighty then. And that's all the questions.
Really? Okay, cool. Well, we can wrap this up. I hope you folks have enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned a lot, which is our purpose. Tune in tomorrow for Downtime Down Under with a special Dunkor edition. Where Dunkor, you know, starts his show at 3 a.m. his time. Let's see how long Dunkor can stay awake. Oh, Kay, do you have a current schedule of shows?
I would just be reading from the show page.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have the show page up.
Okay. Anyway, go visit our show page at WCRadio.com for a full listing of what shows are on when. If you are unable to convert from GMT or EST, learn to Google. Also, please come participate in the Warcraft, in the WoW Radio forums at wcradio.com/forums. And enjoy the Lord Keeper forums, the most active forums on the site. Keep it that way. We outdo T-Base.
We have Octale at Hordak tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. We have Downtime Down Under tomorrow as well, 8 a.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. GST. Happy Hour Tavern was cancelled. Do we have another Wednesday show? I don't think we do.
Not yet.
So then we have Vendor Trash on Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. GMT. Farm Status with Cadwallian and Dunkor and sometimes Nobu at 7 p.m. Eastern at 12 a.m. GMT on Fridays as well. Saturdays, we have User Interface at 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. GMT with Speedy40 and Menuet. Followed by Epic with TB and Kiki Jiki at 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. GMT. Immediately following that, we have At the Sign of the Prancing Pony, the only non-WoW related show on WC Radio thus far, at 5 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. GMT. Sunday, we have Baron's General with Ribeye and Judicator at 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. GMT. Followed by The Weekend Report with Leto at 7 p.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. GMT. And then back to us. Keepers on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. GMT.
And for those of you who live in crazy lands that don't have daylight saving time, I apologize for the time zones being a little off at the moment. That will be fixed in a few weeks when the rest of the world comes back into sync with us. Don't blame me, blame the crazy government I live under. Sigh. If it was up to me, we'd all be functioning on GMT worldwide. So, let's wrap this up. This has been the Lore Keepers for Monday, October 30th. Next week, we'll hopefully have something interesting for you. I have no clue what yet. I think I know what, but it'll probably break K. So, we'll see you later. I'm Strixus.
I'm K.
Indeed, he is. And this has been the Lore Keepers. See you next week. Stay tuned for post-show. I'm just going to play some random stuff because I feel like it.